friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying John's Gospel, A Discipleship Journey with Jesus, and this is Appendix 8, The Paraclete. This is just kind of a summary of the teachings of John put in one place so that on the Paraclete so that we can refer to them. In Jesus' clearest teaching on the coming Holy Spirit, he refers four times specifically to the Paraclete. Chapter 14, verses 15 to 17, and then 25 and 26, chapter 15, verse 26, and chapter 16, verses 5 to 15, and several other times to the Holy Spirit in related contexts. Parakletos is variously translated as the Comforter, Counselor, Advocate, Helper. It can't be easily translated into English with a word that adequately covers its breadth of meaning. Parakletos is an adjective formed from the verb parakaleo that has the basic meaning call to one side for help. But the verb parakaleo has a variety of extended meanings that complicate our understanding of the exact force of the noun in our passage. To urge strongly, appeal to, urge, exhort, encourage, and to make a strong request for something, request, implore, entreat, then comfort, encourage, cheer up, and perhaps be friendly to, speak to in a friendly manner. Commentators seem to be agreed that parakletos is passive in form, called to the side of, for the purpose of helping, called to one's aid in a court of justice, as a substantive, legal assistant, advocate. The translation comforter comes from Wycliffe's translation into English in 1392, which drew perhaps upon comfort's etymological sense, Latin con, with, plus fortis, strong. In this sense, it might denote strengthener, helper. In Greek, the word can have the idea of one who provides help as a legal advocate, but more an advocate for the defense. Another approach might be friend, as in friend in court. In the New Testament, the word is found only in the Johannine literature and is used twice of Christ, who pleads his people's cause before the Father in 1 John 2:1, and by implication of the Holy Spirit as another parakletos besides Jesus. Elsewhere, parakletos is used of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. John says that the Father will send another counselor. This implies that the disciples already have a paraclete to help them, and that the Holy Spirit is another paraclete in addition. Jesus is saying that at present he is their paraclete, the one the Father has sent to help them. 14:17, Jesus tells his disciples that they, unlike the world, are already familiar with this paraclete, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus seems to be saying that in his own person they have experienced the paraclete living or abiding with them or at their side. But when the Father sends the Holy Spirit, this paraclete will be, future tense, within them. Jesus has been their paraclete, helper, friend thus far, but the Holy Spirit will replace Jesus as an interior presence always with them to guide and instruct them. The role of the paraclete in relation to the disciples mirrors Jesus' role with them when he was on earth. So I'm going to compare here between the paraclete and Jesus. The paraclete is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the truth. Paraclete is the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Holy One of God. Known by disciples, both the paraclete and Jesus. The paraclete is the guide into the way of truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. Both Jesus and the paraclete teach. Both declare what is to come. Both bear witness. The paraclete glorifies Jesus. Jesus glorifies the Father. The world cannot accept the paraclete. Evil men do not accept Jesus. The world does not see the paraclete, men soon lose sight of Jesus. The world does not know and recognize the paraclete. Men do not know Jesus. The paraclete bears witness to the world's hate. Jesus bears witness against the world. Now we'll examine the role of the Paraclete as a person. In many languages, Spanish, French, German, etc., including Greek, words have masculine, feminine, or neuter genders or inflections that have no real counterpart in English. While the Spirit is often referred to by a neuter Greek pronoun, since pneuma has a neuter gender in Greek, on several occasions, Jesus uses the masculine pronoun, apparently to emphasize the Spirit's personhood. Observe these verses. 14:26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, neuter noun, whom, neuter pronoun, the Father will send in my name, he, masculine pronoun, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Then in 15:26, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit, neuter noun, of truth, who, neuter pronoun, goes out from the Father, he, masculine pronoun, will testify about me. When he, masculine pronoun, the Spirit, neuter noun, of truth, comes, he, no pronoun in Greek, will guide you into all truth." That was in 16:13. C.K. Barrett observes, "The Spirit is thought of in personal terms." There is solid biblical evidence that points to a conclusion that the Holy Spirit is a distinct person in his own right and performs functions we attribute to personhood. The Spirit appoints missionaries. He leads and directs them in their ministry. He speaks through the prophets. He corrects, comforts, helps us in our infirmities, teaches, guides, sanctifies, testifies of Christ, glorifies Christ, has a power of his own, searches all things, works according to his own will, dwells with the saints, can be grieved, can be resisted, and can be tempted. All the references, by the way, are in the text. These are functions we attribute to persons, not to impersonal forces. John sees the Holy Spirit as a person sent by the Father to replace Jesus' physical presence as the Paraclete with them. The personal nature of the Spirit is confirmed in the foundational creeds of the Church. The Nicene Creed uses personal terms to explain our belief in the Spirit. I'm reading part of the Nicene Creed. "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets." One of the important roles of the Paraclete is to guide Jesus' disciples as they remember and then begin to understand what Jesus taught them while on earth. Various Paraclete passages describe these roles of teacher, reminder, witness, and guide to truth. The Paraclete will teach didasko, the disciples, all things, 14:25-26. He will also remind the disciples of what Jesus taught. We probably shouldn't divide reminding and teaching as two separate functions. Reminding is part of the teaching function. The Paraclete also testifies about Jesus, 15:26. Since the word parakletos has a legal flavor, it is particularly appropriate alongside another word from the legal realm, martyreo, to confirm or attest something on the basis of personal knowledge or belief. Bear witness, be a witness, offer testimony. The Spirit presents Jesus' case for him before the believers and the world. Elsewhere, Jesus told his disciples not to worry what to say when they are brought into court. The Paraclete serves as the believer's legal advisor, as needed, when they are persecuted. In verse 16:13, Jesus promises his disciples that the Spirit of truth will guide them into all truth. Guide is ha de geo. Literally, it means to assist in reaching a desired destination, lead, guide. Here it is used figuratively, to assist someone in acquiring information or knowledge, lead, guide, conduct. The Paraclete isn't said here to bring a new revelation. Rather, he represents Jesus and makes Jesus' teaching clear. Jesus has been the disciples' rabbi and teacher. Now the Holy Spirit will take over that function. The disciples often misunderstood what Jesus had said and done. when the Holy Spirit comes, he will help them remember so they can understand and interpret correctly for the church what Jesus taught them. Now they'll be assessing Jesus' words in the light of his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Evangelicals believe that the Holy Spirit superintended the development of apostolic doctrine so that it properly interpreted Jesus' own teaching. In our day, we must seek the Spirit's guidance with great humility and desire to learn. Spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned through the action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not only guide, encourage, teach, and remind them, as Jesus had done, but he will also empower them. Chapter 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That's 14:12. After the resurrection, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high, Luke 24:49, and then Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is part of the meaning of 16:17, where Jesus says, It is for your good that I am going away. The Spirit is the power behind the various kinds of spiritual gifts given to the church. So far, Jesus has told his disciples how the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will benefit them. Now he explains how the Holy Spirit will affect the world. 16:8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt with regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The role of the Holy Spirit convicting sinners is clear. Convict of guilt, convict, prove wrong, convince, reprove, is the verb elenko, to bring a person to the point of recognizing wrongdoing, convict, convince someone of something, point out something to someone. The word occurs 18 times in the New Testament, in each instance having to do with showing someone his sin, usually as summons to repentance. The Spirit, Jesus explains to us, will listen to Jesus and relay this to us just as Jesus listened to the Father and relayed that to his disciples and only spoke what the Father told him to say. I'm reading 16:13-15. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me from taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Both Jesus and the Spirit will speak the Father's words to us. We don't have the task of the first apostles who helped lay the doctrinal foundation of the church, but we still seek to understand the Word of God accurately. We also need the Spirit's guidance as we seek Him on how to minister and what to say to people. The Spirit serves as our conduit into the very mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. With the Spirit living within us, we are truly blessed. May God richly bless you with